Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Have to make a decision, or, you know, it's just going to happen as he gets older, assuming they don't win it this year. And you know, how Harden's got to say to himself, how am I going to win a title? You know, how do I get to win a title? And at some point he's going to have to say, well, I can't keep banging my head against the wall this way. If he cares about getting a title, I'm assuming he does. So that, you know, that's going to be interesting too. But Westbrook and Harden aren't going anywhere. That team's not going anywhere.
What do you think it would take for the Warriors to get Steven Adams? And again, his name just happened to come up. I like the fit, Steiny. I know you've been a big fan of his game over the course of his career. But, I mean, that's one of those things that it sounds great, and then you'd start to think about how would that be executed, and it becomes pretty difficult to envision the Warriors being able to do it.
Really does. I mean, the first player that comes to mind is D'Angelo Russell, but, you know, this is where maybe I am harsh on D'Angelo Russell, but I got to believe Sam Presti, like, no interest, none, in a guy like D'Angelo, especially just because they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right now. So then you move to Draymond. Well, he doesn't fit there right now. I think Presti would know that he's, you know, on the downside at the very least. So Clay's out of there. Curry's now out of there. So where does that really leave you? Well, that leaves you with your number one pick. So let's see where that goes. But then there's going to be a lot of money ramifications, et cetera. So it is going to be, it's going to be difficult. But it's also going to be difficult for the Warriors to acquire any big-name free agent in the next couple of years. And I know we were talking about Steven Adams with a trade. But, you know, any player who's a free agent at the end of this year, at the end of next year, that's the one where they're going to have to jump through hoops to make something happen for the kind of names that you're hearing they want to get.
You know, earlier we were discussing sustainability as organizations, and there's little question that Oklahoma City has set themselves up beautifully, but they had to make a tough decision in trading a guy known as Mr. Thunder. JD and I were just kicking around. In a couple of years, do you ever foresee Steph Curry or Klay Thompson wearing another jersey in the NBA, and that means you'd have to make the tough decision of, we're going to try to keep sustainability by moving on from the guys who are most responsible for our greatness?
I would never say never. I mean, there's a couple scenarios that I see that make it within the realm of possibility. One would be kind of the ceremonial last year in Charlotte or something like that. You know, in his 14th year when he's maybe playing 16 minutes a game or something like that. You know, the other scenario that I think, I mean, it sounds unfathomable, but everything's on the table is, you know, something happens and the Warriors aren't good next year. And then they aren't good again. It's something we can't envision. And all of a sudden, maybe Steph Curry finds himself on a team that can't win it. And then the Warriors almost do him a favor. And the parallel I would come up with is, you know, Chris Mullin was a Warrior forever, but he played 3 years, not quite at the end of his career, with the Pacers. And then he came back to Golden State, actually, after that. And it was kind of it was in the middle of the Warriors' mess, and so Mullin was still on the team, and they kind of did him a solid. So that is something that I could envision with Curry. Not that I think that's going to happen, but, you know, I'm just thinking out loud about scenarios. That would be one, maybe.
Well, Steiny, thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate you calling in. Your line's getting a little, your phone line is getting a little janky there toward the end.
Got
so you know how that goes. That's got to be an instant, hey, have a nice weekend.
All right, guys, you're great. Take care, buddy.
All right, see ya.
And make sure you guys listen to Steiny Bonte Guru Monday through Friday, 10 to 2, right here, 95.7 The Game. Those guys do a great job. I'd like to have Matt on every week and tap his brain and do a quick segment with him on what he thinks about the NBA. I know he can, you know what? He's locked into the 49ers right now. Everyone's all excited about what's going on with that. They do a great job. But you know what? I think it's in his DNA to talk some NBA. I would love having him on more often.
All right. To John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel, Warriors this week. We continue here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel, and you, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Talking all things Warriors and NBA here with you until noon on 95.7 The Game. Coming up in 10 minutes, Wes Goldberg of the Mercury News. He will join us. Covers the Warriors. We also will speak with Mark Medina coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, as Mark was on hand for the Zion Williamson debut in New Orleans earlier this week. So we'll get to talk to him about that and also other things going on league-wide. Is Mark based now in Southern California, so he's been around the Lakers and the Clippers a lot. A little bit of drama around the Clippers with the news leaking out that some players on the Clippers roster not exactly happy with the way that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have been treated compared to the other players. And did you see Lou Williams responded to the link to the article, basically, LOL, out your source, which, of course, me being a cynic thought, well, that would be something that if I was a source, I would.
Look at you going right to the guy who tweets it out. Hey, Lou, why don't we start with you on that one?
We also should let everybody know that the Warriors officially have announced the trade of Willie Cauley-Stein as he goes to Dallas in exchange for a 2020 second-round pick. That pick via Utah. Cauley-Stein appeared in 41 games with the Warriors, 37 starts, just under 8 points, just over 6 boards, an assist and a half, and a block, and a steal, his averages during his Warriors tenure. So that trade now is official.
Do we have a Willie Cauley-Stein highlight reel that we'd like to play for our audience? Is there a run on Willie Cauley-Stein gear over at the Warriors team store right now?
I'm feeling a little bit of mean-spiritedness on your part.
I don't mean that because I like him. I actually like him as a person, but
come on, we don't need that. Hey, we don't play like that.
I'm not a hater.
Hey, we don't play like that.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go buy his discount Warrior jersey, and I'm going to go buy his still discounted Kings jersey, and I'm going to cut him.
You're going to fuse him together?
I'm going to fuse him together. And I'm going to have a front Kings, back Warriors, Cauley-Stein.
Sacram Cisco?
Sacram Cisco, buddy. That's what I'm going to have. Just like, that might be my new thing. You know what? I think the Warriors did a good thing. They got another asset. It's a second-round pick, and as you point out, it's not even Dallas's second-round pick. It's the Utah pick, and they're a pretty darn good team. It could end up being in the 50s. But the Warriors tend to do their homework very well, and they utilize whatever assets they have to their advantage, and now we'll see what's going on. And you know what? I'm also interested in seeing Smiley Geach a little bit more.
Yeah, and it sounds like at least for now the plan is to have him stay in Santa Cruz for the most part. I know every time Steve Kerr gets asked about Alan Smiley Geach, the conversation quickly shifts toward, well, you know, it benefits him more to be playing 30 minutes a game in the G League than it does to be playing 8 to 10 minutes a game with the Warriors. And my response to that is, wouldn't you like to just see him play 20 minutes with the Warriors now?
Yeah, and now's the time to do it. You're not going to do it when you've got Steph and Clay out there.
But, you know, yeah, I think they want to bring him along slowly. And it does make sense.
Did he point out, great job by our research staff here. Steve Kerr in the postgame presser said he anticipates that Alan Smilagic will get more time with Golden State now that Willie Cauley-Stein has been traded. So maybe he does get some extra run up here. And like you said, instead of 6 to 8 minutes, maybe you give him 17 to 20 minutes and see what he can do in that role. He's still very young, so it's another guy I'm intrigued by. We have to view this Warrior season completely differently, right? We've always watched beautiful basketball, and by always we mean the last 7 years.
Well, now it's who fits. Who fits next year? Who's getting better from the, you know, if you're a younger player, who's getting better from the the beginning of the season to now. Marquese Chriss is an example of a guy that, you know, he played pretty well last night, and the Warriors wanted to continue to get a look at him. And, you know, he had frankly played better, I think, overall than Willie Cauley-Stein. So I actually like the fact that it frees up time for, hey, Chriss and Spellman are just going to play, and they're going to have to work through their struggles, and you're going to get, if you're the Warriors, a real clear-cut picture at who those guys can guard, what types of players they struggle with, what types of players they play well together with and well against. Having those two guys who do very different things at that center spot, getting a chance to just fully evaluate how much they can help you next year, I think is an added benefit. And then, oh, you got Smiley Geach there in the bottom of the picture there as well, maybe getting in there a little bit.
Yeah, run as many guys out there as you can of the guys you have in your core group. And I think the Marquese Chriss example is the perfect example. He came into camp with no guarantees. He actually got an important member of the Golden State Warriors to like him. That's Draymond Green, who was very vocal in, you know what, sometimes guys are in bad atmospheres. He was in a bad place when he was with the Phoenix. He was in a bad place when he went to Cleveland. Both of those places were crap factories. You know what? We've got a different culture here. I can see the ability and the talent and the want that a Marquese Chriss has. You put him in this environment, I think we can squeeze more juice out of that lemon. That's what I think. And it got the attention of management. And although they had to make that mini move where they kind of got rid of him, but now he's back in uniform, you know what? Why not take a look at him? He was a top 10 pick in an NBA draft at one point. He had to have some level of ability. That's why you have him around here. You never know. That could be a gem that you have for the future.
You think anybody else is on the move between now and Feb 6?
On the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah.
I think...
because the Warriors now don't have to move anybody to free up a spot. Like, that was the other part of this deal. You Cauley-Stein frees up a... so if you want to sign Kai Bowman for the rest of the year, if you want to bring Chriss back on an NBA contract at some point down the line, you have the slots to do that now with both players. But I know... I keep coming back to Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III are the two that you think of as far as would another team have interest.
Right.
And I think other teams would have interest in both of those guys. But I also see those two as fits on next year's Warriors, although they would be free agents. You think one of those two, I think more specifically, I guess, would be on the move.
Even if you did move those two guys, because they would be free agents, I'm not sure what you can get in return. I mean, how many second-round picks do you want to stockpile?
Well, it's interesting you say that because the Warriors are void of some second-round picks.
All right.
And the Warriors, before acquiring the 2020 pick from Dallas,
right,
in this Cauley-Stein deal.
Which is the Utah pick, we should point out. It's the Utah pick.
And the hat tip to Anthony Slater, who laid this out, friend of the program and friend of the station here. The Warriors don't have their own second-rounders in 2020, 2021, 2023, 2024, 25, or 26. So, and the Warriors have bought second-round picks in the
sure.
past, and they've had and shown a willingness to do that. But I think getting a second-rounder in the fold is beneficial. I think the Warriors actually wouldn't mind acquiring another second-rounder or two.
You know, I'm looking at teams that are fringe playoff teams or fringe, you know, making a move team. Like Indiana's 30-16. Are they a real contender in the Eastern Conference? Or are they 30-16 because the bulk of their games are played against Eastern Conference teams?
I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a contender.
Yeah, I like Indiana a lot more than I thought. I like it. I'm an Indiana Pacers fan just to begin with.
You want an Indiana-Milwaukee Eastern Final to go with your Denver-Utah Western Final.
Thank you very much.
That's what you want.
You have just painted what I want the NBA season to look like when it's all said and done.
And you know what? I think a little piece of the NBA would die if that happened.
Possibly. But my heart would grow a little bit more, like the Grinch's heart when he saw what was going on in Whoville. My heart would grow just a little bit more, just a little bit more.
Now, are you growing? Would your heart grow because you would enjoy seeing that, or would your heart grow because you would know that it would pain the NBA?
My heart is growing because of all these teams that feel they've got to build the super team, right? The Los Angeles Clippers are a super team based on the fact that they're based in Los Angeles. If you had Steve Ballmer owning the Minnesota Timberwolves, I got news for you. He isn't going to have as easy a time attracting Kawhi Leonard and pick your other star, Paul George, and all these other guys. All right? Same thing with the Lakers. They're in Los Angeles. LeBron wants to be in Hollywood. AD has the same agent. Again, if that family owns the Phoenix Suns, they ain't attracting the same guys over there. So I like the fact that Indiana built itself the way they did. Milwaukee built itself through the draft with a bunch of teams who passed on Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then we don't give enough credit to all the ancillary guys they have around Giannis. And the same thing with Utah. Remember when they lost Gordon Hayward? What did we say? The Utah Jazz are going to be garbage for the next 10 years. They're never going to be able to dig out from losing their best player. Guess what? They're better right now. They're better. I like them better than I like the Boston Celtics. And the Celtics are a 30-win team, too. But I like the Utah Jazz. And the Denver Nuggets are the same team. I like organizations that make good decisions and have competitive teams. That's why I want to root for those guys. The end.
All right. That's fair. And again, if that happens, the NBA will
die a little bit. Adam Silver may not even show up to one of the finals.
Well, he'll use the what did David Stern use when he vetoed the Chris Paul trade?
Oh, yeah,
the competitive for competitive reasons.
That is an awesome and to honor the late David Stern, he will come in with a commissioner's competitive balance.
It'll be for ratings reasons. This can never happen again, and we will never allow it to happen.
You're right, and they'll come up with some magical formula.
If in fact those four teams wind up in the final four of the NBA, there will be a new league rule passed to where they actually have two finals.
That would be you're actually making me more excited than my Miami, than my Milwaukee Utah final by giving me those four teams in the conference finals. Oh my goodness, my head explodes.
Let's bring in Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News, Wes Goldberg, here on 95.7 The Game. Wes, thanks a lot for joining us. As always, we really appreciate it. We'd like to get off the beaten path a little bit here, Wes, right off the jump. If there is, and look, it's probably not going to happen, but if there is an Indiana Milwaukee Denver, Utah, Final Four in the NBA. Will the NBA institute a new rule saying that there is actually a second NBA Finals that must be played?
And it must be played in Los Angeles, right?
that's we're just going to have another series after the Finals series just so people can watch it.
You'd have the NBA Finals, you'd have the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and then you'd have the LA Cup, and it would just be the Clippers and the Lakers playing.
Exactly. Wes, Willie Cauley-Stein, that trade is official now within the last, 20 minutes or so. Just give us your thoughts on that deal. Obviously, it's for next year. They do get the second-round pick. And what do you make of Willie Cauley-Stein's tenure with the Warriors, too?
Yeah, I'll start with the last part there because it kind of sets the stage for everything that happened with Willie. I mean, they signed him, looking at him, projecting him into that JaVale McGee role. Right, and I actually think Willie Cauley-Stein is more of a dynamic player than JaVale was. I think he's a much better passer. I think he's a better player in transition. He's not just limited to a half court pick and roll player, 7-footer, you know, to defend the rim on defense. I actually really thought his game would translate well to an up tempo Warriors team, but the problem is the Warriors just never got to get to that up tempo style play because Steph Curry broke his hand in the fourth game of the season because he never got a chance to play with Klay Thompson. I mean, he played all 4 minutes with Steph, and I just don't think we ever got to really see what Willie Cauley-Stein actualized in this offense would look like. And considering that he was on such a value contract, and it was a value contract, I mean, you can't really get a 7-footer for close to the league minimum, and that's what the Warriors had him on, a 2-year deal. Because, you know, they had to sort of reroute this season, kind of, you know, shift their expectations and kind of look towards the future for a rebuild, guys like Marquese Chriss and Amari Spellman, all these other guys, have really made an imprint on this team and have made their case for being part of their long-term plans, where I don't think Willie Cauley-Stein necessarily did. And you look at, you know, having to waive Marquese Chriss, sign him back to a two-way contract. They're trying to bring him back up to the regular 15-man roster now. And so what you do is you end up trading Willie Cauley-Stein for peanuts. I mean, they basically traded him for a second-round pick that comes from Dallas, but it was conveyed from Utah. And so Utah's a good team. They might be in your Final Four here, and they're going to be, like, you know, picking around somewhere between 54, 55, 56 probably. That's like a nothing asset. So you're basically trading him into another team's cap space in order to promote somebody like Marquese Chriss and even Kai Bowman to the regular roster. And I think right now you're seeing the Warriors taking the long view as they have all year, but I also think that overall they still probably are going to have a hole at center this season, and they're probably going to have to address the position over the offseason.
Hey, Wes, this is strictly conjecture, but in your answer, you mentioned Marquese Chriss. If the phone call came from Dallas and they said, listen, Golden State, we just want one of your bigs. We need to fill Powell's spot. I like Willie Cauley-Stein. I like Marquese Chriss. I'll give you a second round for either guy. Do you think the Warriors would have rather kept Willie Cauley-Stein for their future, or it's Marquese Chriss who has shown enough that maybe they'd rather say, hey, I'd rather keep the experiment going with the younger Marquese Chriss than I know what I got with Willie Cauley-Stein?
I think they would have picked trading Willie Cauley-Stein over Marquese Chriss. I mean, Marquese Chriss, think about his season, man. This guy is going to sign three different contracts with the Warriors. They are jumping through, just to stay with the team this year, they are jumping through so many hoops to keep this guy. He's 22 years old. They really like the fact that he has the athleticism of a former lottery pick. Not to say that Willie Cauley-Stein doesn't. He was also a former lottery pick, but Marquese Chriss is a lot younger, and he does these things that I think project easier into a team with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back. I mean, he's a great screen setter, rolls to the rim hard. He's a good passer. And when you think about guys who can participate in a playoff series and try to get them to where they want to go, which is obviously another NBA championship, I think they trust Marquese Chriss. And to use Draymond Green's term, I think they view Marquese Chriss as more of a 16-game player than they did Willie Cauley-Stein, because he just has a better basketball feel that I think they're really impressed with.
Wes Goldberg, our guest here on 95.7 The Game. Do you think there will be any more moves? We'll throw D'Angelo Russell out. We've talked a lot about that. I don't think anybody really thinks there's going to be a move with him. But do you think maybe an Alec Burks or a Glenn Robinson III would be on the move in the next couple of weeks here as we get closer to the deadline?
Yeah, I think that because the Willie Cauley-Stein trade happened first, the Warriors are sort of in the driver's seat, because by trading him, they could promote both of their two-way guys up and just, you know, roll with the rest of this roster. I don't think that they're going to trade Alec Burks for something like they got Willie Cauley-Stein for. I think you move Willie Cauley-Stein in order to fix your roster. Now they don't have to trade Alec Burks. Now they can kind of let the offers come in. And I think they're going to get offers for Alec Burks. He's two games removed from scoring 33 points. I mean, this is a guy who can play and help a playoff team. But they're not going to just move him for nothing. They're going to demand probably a high second round pick for him, or a very valuable asset that they can actually use and turn into something probably. And if they don't get it, I wouldn't be shocked if that offer doesn't come. I wouldn't be shocked if they just said, you know what, let's just go into the off season. Maybe we get outbid for Alec Burks, but maybe we get a little bit of a home court advantage. Maybe he wants to stay. Maybe he's sick of. Maybe he doesn't want to play for his fourth or fifth team in 2 years. And you just roll the dice and see if he'll return next year, because he's exactly the sort of player that this team has been looking for during the Steve Kerr era off the bench. I mean, the Nick Youngs of the world have come in and out of this team. Alec Burks is exactly what they want, a bench scorer. I don't think that there's any urgency there, but if I had to put money on it, which you're not asking me to, but I brought that up, I don't know why, but I would say they probably do make another move like that, just because I think the demand for a guy like Alec Burks is going to be pretty high.
Ooh, I was going to go with a D'Angelo Russell question, even though JD just prefaced it by saying he doesn't think Russell's going to go. But the end of your last answer is intriguing, and I'm just going to do this as a sidebar question so you don't have to go in depth. The way the sports world is moving towards gambling more and more, do you guys talk about it in your version of journalism, in print journalism, that maybe you're pre-game articles or something, do you at all look at things on a gambling line area, or do you guys strictly stay away from that? And I'll be honest, on our side, electronic, radio and TV, it's a part of our thinking when we do something.
I am aware of what the line is for these games. And in the last 5 minutes of a close game, I'm wondering if they're going to cover or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's just for me being a degenerate, I guess. I don't think my bosses have ever asked me to be aware of that.
Okay, so they haven't asked you to maybe alter, even talk about it in that light, even on a sidebar, just to add what the over-under is, what the point spread is. That's not even a part of your thinking yet.
It's not a part of the actual content that we're creating, but look, we're going to get to that point, especially in the NBA, where Adam Silver seems to be you know, supporting that entire movement. So I wouldn't be shocked if that becomes more a part of my coverage.
All right. I'm stealing a lot of airtime here, JD, but I want to get to, as we continue with Wes Goldberg, by the way, doing a great job with the Mercury News. Early January, you do the D'Angelo Russell piece in which, you know, he says, I've got my deal. I'd like to be here at least 3 years. But is it a guy, do you believe D'Angelo Russell feels he's a Golden State Warrior for the length of the 4-year deal? Or is this a scenario where he kind of knows this is he's renting, not buying, by coming to the Golden State Warriors, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's literally renting a lot of stuff just in his personal life. He's renting his home. He's renting a lot of furniture. He's renting a lot of that kind of stuff. I think there's definitely an awareness, especially with a guy like D'Angelo, who is an all-star player but has played for three different teams now in 4 years, and that was sort of what my article was getting to, was how he's never been able to feel settled. He literally told me, I don't know if this made the article, but he's like looking over his shoulder, not knowing where he's going to be playing next. I mean, it's just hard to play that way. And he's managed to be a 20-plus point-per-game scorer in his career. I do think there's another level for him once he does get settled. I think that just personally it'll be easier for him to thrive wherever he ends up getting settled. But he's also very keenly aware of the business of the NBA, you know, at 23 years old, because he had to be. He's sort of inundated really early with that. So I don't think that there's any sort of naivety to what this is. And he's obviously read the headlines. He obviously knows that the Warriors view him as they value him as a player, but they also value him as the asset that they were able to get back for not to let Kevin Durant get away for nothing. But at the same time, he chose to sign with the Warriors for a reason, right? Like, this wasn't just a straight-up trade. It wasn't, like, this was in D'Angelo Russell's control. So I think that there's a motivation for him to make it work. And, if the Warriors had it their way, it would just work. They wouldn't just trade him to trade him. He would just work with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and this entire thing. So I think there's still a wait-and-see approach with that, with everybody involved.
Where do you fall on Steph Curry as far as his return? I mean, it's not like they're going to hold him out the whole year. I mean, he doesn't want that, obviously he's going to be in a position to play here at some point in the next month plus, let's say, as we get closer to February. Where do you think we wind up with that as far as him coming back?
Yeah, I think he'll play probably somewhere in March. From everything I understand, and I'm not a doctor or whatever, blah, 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 caveat, but all the doctors I talked to said February 1, when he's reevaluated, that's when the strength training, based on usual timetables, ought to start. And he's shooting in the gym. I mean, he's been in shooting workouts. I mean, that lends itself to believe that he's already started the strength training in that left hand. So I think he's ahead of schedule. Now, I think the Warriors will still be cautious about it. But I would be surprised if he didn't play this season. I would be surprised if he didn't play in March. And it's a lot to do with what we were just talking about, by the way.
Yeah.
They're comfortable with him, and I think they will be. There is a lot of motivation to go into the summer with at least a bigger sample size than what they have with Steph and D'Angelo right now. Because on the other hand, you can at least say, hey, we saw it for a month plus. We didn't like what we saw. We're ready to move on. Or, hey, we're really encouraged. We're going to keep rolling the dice. We're going to, you know, roll with this for at least another year.
Olympics for Steph and Clay, are they still on the table, or are those things that these guys are considering not being a part of?
I think it really depends on how the end of the season goes. More for Clay, I think. He's the one that's really iffy. A lot of people are ruling him out for the rest of the year, but I wouldn't be shocked if he played 5 or 6 games just to say, hey, I'm on the court. You know, I got out there. I've got a little bit more confidence in that knee. Doing basketball movements at NBA speed. If he can do that, I'd be more encouraged by his Olympic chances.
Wes, I know you're a talent. You're more of a talent.
You're just a straight talent. Let's
you're more
be honest
of a talent
it,
guy as opposed to fit. You know, there's a talent and fit. We've had that conversation before. You're pro talent as opposed to fit. Let's say what do the Warriors have to feel they could get if they do down the line offseason decide, all right, open for business on D'Angelo Russell? Does it have to be another star? Does it have to at least be another player that would be in the D'Angelo Russell, let's say, have the same career arc, you know, early to mid-20s, but has been an all-star, but has the potential to get a lot better. Is there a scenario where you see, and what would the scenario be, I guess, where you see them saying, all right, we're going to trade him for role players?
I really just don't see the scenario where they trade him for role players, only because look at what they've done to themselves here, man. Like, you're basically, you jettison Andre Iguodala, and you have to attach a first-round pick to do so. They traded, in their minds, a first-round pick for D'Angelo Russell. That's going to end up being converted to a second-round pick that doesn't matter because they're in the lottery. But in their mind, they traded two first-round picks and all of their flexibility for the season. We just got done talking about Marquise Chris having to sign three different contracts just to stay with the team. That's because of the hard cap that was induced because of the sign-and-trade for D'Angelo Russell. They went through a lot of trauma in order to bring D'Angelo Russell in and are still dealing with the repercussions of that. So you don't do all of that for Robert Covington. You don't do all of that for 3-and-D player X who doesn't really move the needle, even if it's a better quote-unquote fit. So to answer your question, I think with D'Angelo Russell, the trade you make is, and by the way, I think D'Angelo Russell has helped himself by being a good locker room presence, so they don't have to worry about any of that stuff, right? So I do think the trade you make has to make, you have to look at this team and say, is the player we're getting for D'Angelo Russell improving our championship odds right now? Does he help our championship odds right now? And maybe that's another 23, 24, 25-year-old player. Maybe it's a 28 or 29-year-old player. They believe their window is the next 3 or 4 years. They're not that concerned, I don't think they're as concerned about like having a young piece of the future as winning these championships during Steph Curry's prime. I think that is the priority. So how many guys in the league are a clear upgrade over D'Angelo Russell? I think there's a pretty big list of guys, but who among those guys are available? And that's the big question. Look, we know that this NBA is fickle and guys become available and you can make a move, but you know, I don't think a guy like Ben Simmons moves the needle for them in that way. I don't think a guy like Andre Drummond moves the needle for them in that way. We're talking about a much more clearer upgrade, and that's hard to come by. And that's why I'm a little bit more skeptical on people saying, oh, D'Angelo Russell will get traded this summer, than I think a lot of my counterparts are, just because what's the deal that's out there? Because they've already proven they can go find role players. They can go find Glenn Robinson on the minimum. They can go get Eric Paschal in the second round. So to trade a valuable asset like D'Angelo Russell for more of that just doesn't seem like the thing that a smart front office would do.
No, that's a smart way of looking at it. And I think the right question is we all try to evaluate what the heck's going to happen here between now and July. Final question for you, and it's a selfish one. As somebody that's going to get to spend 8 days in Miami, I know you're a Miami guy. Give me one thing that you must do if you have 8 days in Miami, but you're going to be obviously relatively busy covering the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're on radio. I'm not sure what the rules are. There's a lot of PG-13 rated R things that I would say are the things you have to do in Miami, man. Just go walk down Ocean Drive, find the bar with the coolest lights and the best patio and the prettiest women, and just go in there and have yourself a good time. The thing about Miami that I like is that you don't really remember the names of the bars. You just sort of stumble into one and out, and you're like, you know what? That was a good time. I wonder if I'll ever get back to wherever I was.
Beautiful. Love it. Well said. Well done. Appreciate it, Wes. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your trip as well. The Warriors are going to be on a long one, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
Yeah, I'll be in Cleveland. You'll be in Miami. That sounds fun.
That's a good trade right there.
Well, I think I've been in Cleveland when you've been in Miami before, too. So it all evens out at some point down the line. Thanks, Wes.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Wes Goldberg joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good stuff from
Yeah, I like Wes. He's got some good deep thoughts there. I like it.
Yeah, deep thoughts and opinionated, and yeah, not afraid to share those takes.
I know he's got to get a little more granular on his what to do in Miami thing.
Well, I
give me a little bit more.
Simple works for me, and I actually agree with him on. And you know, if you can't remember the names of the places, that's when you're in a good spot
space.
Because it's just I like
gotcha.
That place.
Gotcha. I can't wait to follow your Twitter handle.
IG, Twitter.
Going IG?
Twitter's going to be more for the professionals.
Okay, I got you.
IG is for the...
I'm going to be rocking my Finsta on those days. So I'll see what you're doing.
You know who's enjoying life right now is Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala's... Can you recall... I've asked a few people this. Can you recall a player under contract with a team, not playing for that team? He's cool with it. They're cool with it. And he's just out doing, you know, media junkets for an entire day like Iguodala did yesterday at ESPN.
Personal ones. Yeah, they're not for the organization.
No.
He's doing personal media tours.
It's like, yeah, we're sending
still
the checks.
Paid
and,
by Memphis.
Yeah, everything's good. And, you know, we're going to try to trade you, but, you know, we were a little annoyed that you didn't show up initially, but, you know, we're cool with it now. Go be on the jump. Go be on First Take.
Doesn't bother you about his leadership? Like, don't you think it would be nice for him to be around a young team Memphis?
Well, and Memphis wanted him for that purpose.
Exactly.
Initially, that's why they made the trade.
Yep. And there, by the way, Memphis is one of the surprise good, fun stories in the NBA this year.
They are. I mean, currently the eighth seed in the Western Conference at 21 up and 24 down. But yeah, let's go ahead and hear a little bit from Iguodala here as he was on First Take and also The Jump. And we'll start with the first cut, which is from The Jump, and it was just Iguodala talking about what he's been up to and his injury and how this season's played out for him.
It's been a blessing in disguise in terms of having his time off, and I think it's added some years to my career. Hey. Just waking up in the morning, and you don't have that normal pain. When you wake up in the morning in January, the last 16 years, and you're looking for the pain, like, oh, there it is, and then you don't have that. So it's kind of been good. So I've been on the court. I'm in shape. I'm kind of slim, so I can use like 3.5 pounds of muscle.
Okay.
Take me a couple days to put that on, but I'm ready to get back on the court. So it was good to get that little break.
Yeah, it's good to get that little break that I'm getting paid $16.5 million for by a team that I told I wasn't going to show up.
A couple of days to put on that muscle. Can I get on that program? I can put on pounds in a couple of days.
You got to, on the one hand, appreciate Iguodala, but that's an all-timer, isn't it? Like, that's an all-timer as far as just a good scam if you can get it.
That's one of the great NBA scams out there.
Blessing in disguise, you chose to not play.
Yeah, and Memphis chose not to make it an issue. Good on you, Memphis, and I hope Memphis is able to squeeze something out of some other NBA team. I kind of want them to send him to a team like, I'm trying to think who I'd like to send him to. Send him to Brooklyn.
Send him to Atlanta.
Send him to Atlanta.
The thing is, but if they send him,
send him to Orlando, because they're a playoff team, but they're not good.
Well, actually, you know, the move would be, and, you know, Sacramento just did this with Trevor Ariza. Second year in a row, Trevor Ariza signed a deal with a team thinking, hey, I got fat money from a team that had fat money to give, and I'm just going to show up and coast, and everybody thinks I'm a leader, but I'm really not a leader. But I have leadership cred, you know, banked.
I'm in the league 16 years. You know I can't be a bad guy if I'm in the league 16 years.
He did it with Phoenix. I'm going to take Phoenix's $15 million, and I'm going to coast. I'm going to play 12, 14 minutes a game. I'm going to mentor the young guys.
Yep.
And you know what they did? They sent him to Washington, and Washington had so many injuries that they were so desperate that he had to play 30, 35 minutes a game.
Yep.
And he had to earn that. He had to earn it.
He was supposed to back up Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre. Instead, he's getting 30 to 35 minutes a game.
So he winds up a free agent, and then he signs a two-year deal with Sacramento. Why? Because why not?
Well, he's Luke's buddy.
And he's Luke's buddy. So he gets, 2 years and $24 million? And, all right, didn't work out. He was probably playing a little more than they wanted him to play and probably that he wanted to play. But he gets traded to Portland, and Portland's got seven guys healthy at the point where they make the deal. So he's got to start, play 35 minutes for Portland on a team that's kind of going nowhere. So
first game, he scores 21.
The Iguodala, to your point on Iguodala, you'd want him to go somewhere he's got to actually play a lot.
Yeah, I want him to go to Orlando, playoff team, but they're just trying to fight for the playoffs. I don't want him to have the ability to go to the Lakers or to the Clippers. You know what I mean? Not that I wish anything bad on him.
Here's the thing, though.
Because I don't want – he's going to get his paper.
If you send him to wherever, Atlanta, whatever, Knicks, you know what, he would just say, I'm not playing there. Because he already did it. He'd just be like, I'm not playing there. And the story goes, allegedly, that he told Memphis he didn't want to play. Originally, Memphis was annoyed by that, but the fear from the Grizzlies was that he's so high up in the food chain as far as the NBA Players Association that they were worried that, in essence, they were messing with the wrong guy, and he has so much clout in the Players Association that it would get out in the circle among players that, hey, Memphis doesn't handle their business right just for making the guy show up and fulfill his contract.
Just for asking him to do what he signed to do, you're not treating him correctly. Anyone else want to know why people are starting to fall away from the National Basketball Association? Because there's a long list of reasons. That's one of them.
888-957-9570. We'll hear more from Iguodala because he had a take on Stephen Curry. Mark Medina is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour as well as Warriors This Week rolls on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Final hour, John Dickinson, Jim Cozumore, 888-957-9570. As you listen here to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Mark Medina will join us coming up at 11:30. And we'll hear more here coming up from Andre Iguodala. Also, Stephen Curry. We'll hear from Steph this hour as he was on the All Smoke podcast. You know who the hosts of the All Smoke podcast are, Coz?
Oh, man. Wait a minute. I do.
Former Warrior legends.
Yeah. Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
Why can't I think of the other one?
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack. Yeah, that's right.
Steven Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And so we'll hear from Steph.
And again, the name of that podcast?
All the Smoke.
All the Smoke.
That's a great name for a podcast.
Saw Matt Barnes on Get Up this week.
Yeah.
On the entertainment
sports program. He's actually not playing in the league and on a bunch of shows. Andre Iguodala is not playing in the league, but under contract. And I think doing as many shows or more than Matt Barnes is not playing in the league.
Unbelievable.
Right now. Did that rub you a little bit wrong about Iguodala, like the way this whole thing is playing out with him?
And I think it speaks poorly of the NBA. And I think it is a bad precedent to have a guy under contract who doesn't show up, and then you have to pay him because if not, you know, he's going to spread the word that Memphis isn't doing their business the right way. What do you mean? Memphis is doing their business the exact right way. And I'm sure Memphis would have worked hand in hand with you to try to move you at the deadline, but you were there for a purpose. They were willing to overpay you to help guys learn the league. They'll move on from you. Do you think they want to carry you for the entire season?
Yeah.
No.
That's the part that does rub
that
me a little bit.
Me.
It's the fact that, hey, show up, throw the uniform on, mentor. They're not going to overtax you. You can use the time to get healthier as he's done by not playing and not being around the team. And then they're going to trade you at some point or they're going to work a buyout with you at some point after the trade deadline if they can't trade you. To have it play out where he just gets to basically be on vacation. I mean, let's be honest. That's what it is. I think it falls under the category of hashtag this league, which I don't view that as a glowing.
That's not a positive
hashtag. I know. And
there are those who say it is. And that's the issue, is that there are haves and haves nots. There is a split. I love basketball.
Yeah.
There was a time when I would watch the late Clippers Utah game when both teams were out of my realm of what I cared about because I love basketball, but this league is starting to make me want to flip over to the NHL Network, and that's bad because there's so many great athletes and there are so many great things that happen in the game. But when you got stars who don't want to show up, when you've got load management going on, there are a lot of issues with the league, and I'm just when they say, well, because LeBron's not in the Eastern Conference anymore, that's why our ratings are down, you're fooling yourself.
Iguodala come back next year to the Warriors? I feel like there's a good chance that could happen. And everybody will be happy for it, right? Iguodala will be happy.
Yeah.
Teammates will be happy. The media will be happy. We will all, and I'll include myself, we will all yuck it up with Iguodala and laugh about this sabbatical year that he got paid for. I mean, I think we in the media perpetuate a lot of that.
Oh, there's no question.
I mean, even just that cut that we played, you've got, you know, Rachel Nichols, who's terrific, and she's enjoying every minute of Iguodala basically saying, yeah, I'm doing whatever the hell I want, getting paid, and not playing. Like, and that's, like, funny. Like, to me, that's not funny.
No, it's not.
But I'll admit, it's, you know. Hey, welcome back, Andre.
You're right. There are a lot of things about that we can go into in my personal podcast.
He also had a take on Steph Curry. You want to hear this take? It was about,
oh yeah.
And this was, again, we're talking about, it was two different shows. The first cut that we played was from The Jump.
Mm-hmm.
This cut is from First Take, and his take, Andre Iguodala's, was after he was asked, should Stephen Curry come back?
Selfish reasons? No, I think he should. He hurt the left hand. You can't golf with the left hand if it's hurting. So I think he need to get a real break in terms of being able to relax. That long run is mental reasons, and Marshawn Lynch mentioned it. You got to get your mentals right.
Right,
and
I think it's your chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's got too much chicken. It's protecting itself.
He got magic.
But I think it's good for him mentally to be able to step away, be able to get a nice breather, and he's going to come back, you know, on a wrath next year.
I agree with the last part. He's going to come back on a wrath next year. But should he come back? No. And he's worried about his golf game. And okay, that's a joke.
I know. Yeah, I get that. I think if you can play, you come back. I think if you can play, you come back. I think it would be a bad look for the Warriors if he doesn't play this year, is able to, and then plays in the Olympic Games. I think it's just a bad, bad look. I don't think competitors want to miss competing. I think they want to compete. And I think Steph Curry is a competitor, and he wants to go and compete. Now, you could say, what are you competing for? Well, you know what? If you want to be the darling of the NBA, then you got to show up and be the darling of the NBA. And so I hope Steph Curry comes back and plays if he is healthy. And I hope he plays in the Olympics. But if you don't play for the Warriors the rest of the season, I'm kind of leaning towards, well, I hope he doesn't play in the Olympics either.
And I don't think that's something that's legitimately on the table for Steph. I mean, I think he wants to play. I think he wants to come back. And I think the Warriors are the type of organization that's going to listen to the face of their franchise and let him have some input.
Absolutely.
The other factor in this is, look, this is not a leg injury. You know, this is not an ACL. This is not an Achilles that he's coming back from. It's a hand. It's right. A broken hand. And look, every injury is serious in its own way.
Agreed.
But once he's healthy, it's a broken hand. It heals. You work your strength back up in it, and you come back and play. I mean, this should not really have affected his conditioning or his body really in any manner, other than, you know, him getting back out on the floor and getting back into game shape. So on that front, it shouldn't take him very long to be ready to play. But I think the biggest factor in this thing is he wants to play, and then it's not a leg injury. And the fact that the timeline of it says, hey, you could give Steph some extra time. And I know the Warriors pushed back against the Marcus Thompson report of a week and a half ago that the Warriors are targeting March 1st. Well, I think it's fair to understand that somewhere in March, he's probably going to be back. There's enough time to go in the season to where holding him out for the whole year at this point would be extreme. And frankly, I think the league would have a problem with that if the Warriors tried to do it. I just don't think the Warriors are going to try to do it.
I don't either. Although you've just brought up an interesting scenario. If the Warriors try to hold back on that, what will the league do to the Golden State Warriors? The Golden State Warriors were the golden child and made this league an awful lot of money. And they used a lot of human capital to make that money. You go to the NBA Finals 5 straight years, there's a lot of wear and tear on the body. I think that's part of the reason LeBron is having such a great year this year is that he didn't have to go through a playoffs last year. He finally got to rest his body, and now he's coming back, and he's the absolute terror that we all know him to be. For the Golden State Warriors to sit out one of the marquee faces of the league, the question is, would the NBA do something to the Golden State Warriors? To me, now I almost want the Warriors to sit Steph Curry just to see what the standoff would be with the NBA.
I think they would.
You think they do?
I think they'll.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.